So you said that Akoma Institute is the pop-up school is online, and you work with girls who are about age 7 to 11 years old, I believe. So you haven't met these girls before, and you came into a completely new country. I just wanted to know, how did you get to build trust with these girls' parents to ensure that it's a pop-up school? Because we know the dynamics of the UK, you'd have to do the consent form, et cetera, et cetera. So what was it like doing that in Brazil? Even though you're a black woman, but you know we're not the same. Thank you.
Absolutely. A lot of parents were very skeptical at first because I think they thought, okay, here is a woman who is clearly not Brazilian, and she's offering this free course, education course. Some parents were asking, are you teaching them English? Is that your thing? A lot of parents were saying, okay, but is it free? I think a lot of people thought I was trying to con them into paying for something, like, oh, here are these free classes, oh, here are these magazines, and then you need to pay for the next one. And so establishing trust was really about positioning myself in a space that valued and amplified the voices of Black Brazilian women. So before I actually started doing any outreach, I had to build community. So, you know, tapping in with my Black Brazilian girlfriends and saying, look, do you know anyone in São Paulo who's interested in social care, who's interested in education justice? And then I started building the team, the immediate Ikoma team. And then it became, okay, now I'm going to join Facebook groups. I'm going to join WhatsApp groups. I'm going to find out what, how I can actually physically be in community with Black Brazilians. And it just one thing came after the other. I'd introduce myself. Someone would be really friendly to me. We'd start talking and they'd say, oh my gosh, that sounds dope. I'd love to help you. And so slowly and surely I started building community. You know, my hairdresser, the people that I buy, you know, things in my kitchen from, literally Black Brazilian people I saw in person as well. And then eventually, I started to figure out and realize what it was that families might need from Akoma as opposed to what I wanted to impose. And that's how I started to learn which words held the most weight in this community. And amplify became a huge buzzword when we were trying to promote our pop-up school, because it's not that they don't have the voices, it's that they don't have the access. And so trying to position myself as like a megaphone for these girls, as a megaphone for these families, and quote unquote, amplifying them and amplifying their needs, their wants, their wishes, their desires, their dreams. It really sort of radicalized the purpose of the organization. It really brought forward the organization and its mission as something that would be valuable and something that would be long term. And it really showed that we had the intention to center them within our work as opposed to fitting them around what we thought we were going to do, right? So, yeah, definitely it was tough in the beginning because a lot of people were like, well, who are these people and why are they just offering out these classes? Branding was a huge part of making our kind of social identity known, because in the beginning we were doing like talks with people and trying to like align our social media with the views of people that we really admired in the community organizing space, Black Brazilian teachers, Puerto Rican community organizers, all sorts of people from the diaspora. And then we realized, well, wait, nobody knows us, right? So in the last 2, 3 months, we've really been rebranding our social media to show people that we are a school. We are an organization, and school is not about walls, it's about community. And so, you know, sharing what our education initiatives are, introducing people to our principals, making partnerships with community organizations that we don't want to compete with, that we want to help support, has been really valuable as well in trying to, you know, let parents and families and children and everyone know that we are trustworthy and that we are legitimate, right? Because, you know, producing legitimacy is a huge part of running an organization. It's something that I'm learning more and more about every day. So yeah, building community and then centering community, I would say, are the two things that really enabled me to do this work.
That's very, very powerful, and I really appreciate that. And my final question, I just wanted to ask, did you encounter any like white saviors in this space? because I realized when I've been doing a lot of research about community organizing in Latin America, I've never really saw black women. I always saw white people. So did you encounter any white saviors, any white privilege when you were community organizing?
Really interesting question. In the, I have to say, because we did so much, like, let's find people who are aligned with our politics and aligned with our pedagogy, we really did come across so many organizations who were black women led and who had black women majority in Latin America. So Afro Resistance, Instituto Odara, Iomidi Odara, all these wonderful organizations in Bahia, some based in the US, but do work in Latin America, Latinas Lideres. We found all these organizations first. And so we haven't really encountered any white saviorism yet, because all of the people that we've been blessed to be in community with have all been black Latina women or black women from the global north who are based in the global south. What we do sometimes encounter are organizations who are like for all girls, right? So organizations who are saying, we're for every girl, or we're for girls of color. And then when you encounter these people, they often don't have black girls either represented in their population or within their staff body. And then that's concerning for us, because then we're like, are you in community with us because you actually care about black girls, or because you've been contributing to the exclusionary practice and now you're trying to change that because now it's really trendy to have black girls involved in feminist initiatives, and now it's really fashionable to have inclusion and diversity as buzzwords on your website? So we have encountered like a few people that we are definitely apprehensive of, because essentially the whole point of us being an organization that are supporting black women and girls is about challenging disenfranchisement. And so when people approach us and it's clear that they have been a part of that disenfranchisement, or they have been curating a space that hasn't really acknowledged that disenfranchisement, it can be very disappointing, and it can create a lot of suspicion. And whether they're white saviors or not, we don't know, because honestly, the conversation never gets to develop to that stage where we can truly understand their intentions. But yeah, I really love that question. I think it's really interesting. And I think the more that we do this work, it will be interesting to see where it leads us.
Thank you so much for answering my question, and I really appreciate your time.